catch us, we are on Instagram at NotSoPeterPriesthood.
And you can email us at NotSoPeterPriesthood@gmail.com.
Thanks for joining us. Enjoy.
Bye.
Well, you let I'm recording, just so you know, Dusty. Consent is.
You'll have my consent to record my beautiful, melodious voice.
Hi, welcome to Not So Peter Priested.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like, are we just bending? What's happening?
It might end up that with what we're talking about today, so.
It always ends in that. Let's be realistic. The reason we do this podcast is for our own mental well-being, and that
I know.
This is our should therapy. It help someone else out there? Fabulous. But at the end of the day, it's just to get it out there.
As we're both sipping on alcohol. Very healthy coping mechanisms. It's fine.
Hey. Journal. I go to therapy. I practice yoga.
You do.
Let me have my beer, okay?
You got a lime in it. It's fine.
Yeah, it's hell. It's damn near a salad.
You got your. Yeah. You got a little fruit in there. It's fine.
It's in French for some reason.
What?
You're reading? I'm trying to read what's in it, but it's in French.
Alcohol.
It's in alcohol. It. Return alcohol. For refund where applicable. I get 10 cents when I take this back to the depot.
Ooh.
I know.
Rolling in the monies.
Flicking loonies. Anyways.
Is that what the...
Yeah.
The strip club? Loony?
Loony shots.
Oh, that's like the visual is just... Oh. Wait, so you got all these coins, you know, like they stuff them in like the here they what they do they
well, lick the girls them are kind of yeah you lick them and stick them to the dancer's ass cheeks.
Oh
yeah, so that's fun.
Interesting.
Or you just like they have like a bucket or whatever, you toss them on the stage. I don't know, how many strip clubs do you think I go to?
Like, at least one a day. Just kidding.
I've been to one and it was so gross. And oh, I was yeah. Like, yeah, I'm good.
I went to my first one in Pensacola when I was at A school for the Navy.
Oh, yeah.
And I got so plastered and, like... Like, the most drunk I probably have ever been in my life. Because they were just giving me all the...
Of course, yeah.
And they knew it was my first time. And they knew that I had, like, monies because I'm a little, like, Navy guy. And so they took advantage of me. And not that way. But, like, at one point, they had me take off my shirt. And they, like, threw it up on this, like, in the rafters area. And they, like, they had me crawl up to the to get it. Yeah, good times. And I just remember being as a gay man at this straight, like, just women, they're gorgeous, so I'm just like, oh yeah, you're pretty. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm just like, hey, having fun, you know, like, I'm not gonna but so much I'm like so much pussy around, and I hate that word, but I also just like I was so traumatized for a little bit after that. I was like, I can't, like,
yeah.
If there was any question before that I was gay, there's no question anymore.
I don't know. Even as a bi woman, it's very overstimulating to be surrounded. It's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. To eat
everywhere.
Yeah. It's just like, I can't focus on, and no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I was always the designated driver, so it's less fun to be the sober one.
Oh, I bet. Oh, yeah. Anyway, hi, welcome to Not So Peter Priesthood. Actually, this works because we're going to talk about favorite sins. What would you give up to know God?
I left the church so I could sin. Oh, I love it.
This is an article from the Lihona from July 2024. Hot off the press, girl.
Oh, God. The, I snorted beer out my nose. Ow.
I saw this and I was like, oh, yes, this has to, we have to talk. Okay, so, all right. Living the gospel often requires sacrifice. Heavenly Father asks us to give up our natural tendencies to receive something much greater, a knowledge of God and the incomparable blessings he offers. King Lamoni, who didn't exist, King Lamoni's father, who also didn't exist, demonstrated this to sacrifice when he prayed. If there is a God, and if thou art God, wilt thou make thyself known unto me, and I will give away all my sins to know thee, and that I may be raised from the dead, and that be saved at the last day. That's from Alma 22:18.
I love how they say, if you're real.
Yeah, I'll give up everything.
Listen, let me card that
show
here.
Yourself up to me. Show your finger like you did to, with, what's his name? Yeah, my fingies. God's fingy. President Russell M. Nelson taught that overcoming the world and growing closer to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ includes choosing to refrain from anything that drives the spirit away and being willing to give away even our favorite sins. Questions to consider. Favorite sins can be hard to recognize because we often justify them or allow them to become habitual. Our whiskey and beer zone.
I'm just not a head on my beer right now. I don't know why, but anyway, I think I snorted too hard into
This is such a, since you said that, I just watched this stupid action movie. I didn't barely pay attention to it. It has Jessica Alba, who's gorgeous, great, fantastic. She's all right. Anyway, people think she's hot.
She's no Mandy Moore, but you know.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so. it's on Netflix. I don't know what it's called, but she's supposed to be the like this. She goes into this bar and she's like, she just talks to the bartender that she knows, whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, just fill up your own. So she goes and fills up her own beer, and then there's like, it is all head. I was like, girl, you're supposed to be like a this like badass. I was like,
Do you not know how to pour a beer, Howie?
Yeah. What you do?
They couldn't CGI that out for you. That's too bad.
Yeah, I don't know how they didn't catch that and be like, let's at least give her a good beer so that she like looks like a badass.
Yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, I digress. Favorite sins can be hard to recognize because we often justify them or allow them to become habitual. Consider taking some time to ponder favorite sins that are keeping you from becoming closer to Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ.
You got a pencil?
Well, I thought that we could talk about like our favorite sins. Like,
oh, so goody.
What are some of my favorite sins? These are questions. What steps can I take to overcome these sins? What obstacles would I face in my effort? How can sacrificing these sins help me in the areas where I'm struggling? So, what are your favorite sins, Dusty?
Saying the word fuck.
Yes!
That was really quick on that one.
That was like, you were waiting.
I've had a problem with swearing since I was in junior high school and got kicked out of school for swearing.
Oh, damn. Really? So,
I went to the restaurant Jack Astor's and I said it and I got in trouble for saying Jack Astor's.
Yeah, it's a restaurant.
A restaurant.
The hell.
And then I said, if I wanted to say asshole, I would. And then I got in trouble.
So, I can remember I was like in elementary school. So we had this like hutch in my house with like this mirror in the back. I can remember staring into it and just swearing.
Like, really? Bitch.
Damn. Ass. I can remember doing that as a little kid, like probably 7 or 8 years old, just like saying all these swear words and just giggling and just loving it. And I was like, bitch. Damn, I didn't know fuck at the time, but I was like, hell, you know, I'm just like.
My 5-year-old was playing with a marble run, and it like collapsed on itself, and he's like, fucking hell. I was like, hey!
Hey,
That is a grown up word. And he was like, I'm mad, okay? Fair. And like proud that you use it correctly, but like,
yeah,
not at school or around other people, okay? Like,
yeah,
on the DL, man. Jesus.
The Child Protective Services called on you.
Bring it.
So, let's see. What are favorite sins? I mean, obviously, the obvious one for me is men.
I mean fair. Women, that's fine.
Dick is my favorite sin. There we go. We'll just penis.
Penis and vaginas. Oh my god.
You can have the vagina. I'll just nope. I discussed that. That's not a thing for me.
That is not a thing. That's hilarious. Oh my god. Drinking, obviously. I do like a good drink. Coffee. Oh, don't talk. So, I've had my coffee. Stuff.
So did you start? When did you start drinking? Like, was that like
in high school? Yeah.
Were you still churchy at the time? Ever churchy, but like.
No, we'd go party on the weekends and like drink in fields. Because I'm from the country, so yeah. Yeah, like older guys would buy booze and drink at parties. I worked at the Prince of Wales Hotel in Waterton and did a lot of weddings, and there was always like champagne for the staff. And yeah, I started drinking probably 15, 16.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
I was in my 20s for sure. It was after my sister died. So I was like,
oh yeah,
that's when I started. But it was like kind of, so it was like in the same time as like the time, like I was grieving, and then like I just kind of, and then coming out, and then I was just like, well, fuck it. I'm just gonna, you know.
My ex-husband thought that I had like a drinking problem. And so, like, wouldn't allow, like, cooking wines in the house and stuff.
Oh, jeez.
I was always like, first of all, cooking wine is shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not meant to be drank, so no thank you. I've never had a problem with alcohol, though. Like, I come from a long line of alcoholics, and so I've always been very wary of it. But, yeah, like booze was never a problem. Pills, on the other hand, that's a whole other story. But I've never, like, even now, like, I can take it or leave it. It's never really been a, which is funny because I was always told from my entire childhood, like, one sip and you'll be an alcoholic because you have alcoholism in your family. And I was like, okay, well, I drink all the time and I'm can go weeks without having it, so clearly it's not a problem.
I've had my bouts of like, I probably am a little too reliant on this, but like my grandpa, let's see, my great grandpa was an alcoholic. And then there's this whole thing of like, he kind of disowned my granddad kind of thing. And then my granddad got raised by this other family. And so, there's not a lot known about my granddad's, like, that whole his lineage, but like what we do know is that he's alcoholic. So,
and I sometimes wonder these like, oh, there's alcoholism in our family. Is there, or are people assholes and the only thing you have to blame it on is the fact that they had a beer once in a while? Because not a lot is said about people who just like have mental health issues in the past or are fighting demons, and so they're just kind of not great.
They didn't have
people.
The resources we do to mental health and that stuff. And
so when they're
not until just recently, mental health has been a very like taboo thing to even talk about. So
So did they just have like a raging temper, and you're blaming it on the fact that they had a beer once in a while? I find that a little bit suspicious. when like stories are told, and I'm like, sounds like somebody was coping with like some serious mental health issues.
Oh yeah.
Not that they were like a raging, because they like had a job and paid their bills, and you know, like. Yeah.
Could it be that like the first, the beginning of the 1900s and like the, what all that time period, 1800s was shitty. And so like all you could deal with was, I'm going to just gonna drink alcohol to like,
yeah,
drink the pain away.
Yeah. And like in some countries that didn't have access to like clean drinking water, like having a beer was one of the only ways to really like hydrate your body after a long day. Like there, we put these morality boxes around people's behavior without taking into account their situation and their circumstances.
Yeah. And what that is like putting our, what is it? Presentism or something like that. It's like putting our current, like we said, morality and our current state of mind onto them, and our current circumstances onto them, which isn't fair. So that makes sense.
Yeah. I just wonder that all the months, like, well, you come from a long line of alcoholics. And I'm like, okay, well, yeah. we're from Russia. Alcohol's part of life.
Yeah.
We're also Scottish.
That's also how, like, Russia, that's how they live, just because they had to, like, the only way they could live was with vodka. Yeah. Like, come on.
It's fucking cold, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, a nip of vodka is going to get you home warm. I don't know. That's just what I've thought over the years of just, like, being told constantly, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Let's see, what's another favorite sin of mine? I mean, honestly, for the longest time, it was like, I'll be on, like, very honest, sex has been like a big part of my, like, a thing that I've just been, and I think it's like that repressed thing, like it's just like you can't have it, so you want it more.
Yeah, I think,
because now I'm just like, now that I can have it, I'm like, eh, it's whatever.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think a lot, I won't speak for everyone, but I think a lot of ex-Mormons go through that like wild phase of where they're like making up for lost time because they had no idea. They didn't get to experiment. They didn't get to like find out what they like in that area. And so I did it. Like my, like, I will never share my numbers because that's nobody's.
Same girl. I think of like this whole thing where there's like, if you're gay, you kind of like, you grow up later than everybody else. Whereas like gay ex-Mormons have this whole other layer of like, there was this whole other thing where you had to like, not only wait until you're even like ex-Mormons, but like ex-religious people that are gay, like you have this whole other layer of that religious trauma that you have to go through. And so it's even later, I think, because like if I had no religion involved out of high school, I probably been like, hey, or even in high school now, like,
yeah, oh absolutely,
would be like, I don't,
you would have been like experimenting and kissing boys and like having that growing up experience. Started like making out with boys and girls at the age of 14-15, so I got to experience that into my 20s. You were locked into not being able to actually experience what you like until your 20s.
Yeah.
So you're like, you're like a decade behind me. It's just a bye, buddy.
I know. Well, and I'm just like, I look at these like younger generations, which is great. I love that they're able to like be more open earlier, because there isn't that stigma, and I'm so happy that that's what we fought for. That's what the generations before me have fought for. We wanted to be able to like express ourselves and experiment way earlier, just like every other kid, you know, and just have it be normalized. And but it's also just like kind of angering, because I'm like, you get to do that, and I got like, I feel like I missed out on so much, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, I fully, it's the garment thing for me. I totally get it. Like,
your Roman Empire.
The garment, Mormon garments are my Roman Empire. Absolutely. I cannot let it go. I'm sorry. I am petty, but like, why the fuck do you get to wear cute little outfits when I was sweltering in cotton
garments? Yeah. It's so weird to be like in Mormonville right now, like, because you cannot tell anymore. It's so, like, they just, they'll be like out doing whatever, like exercising, quote unquote. Like, I'm just like, but you're not actually exercising, but I can tell you're not wearing your garments. And then I hate, and then I get mad at myself for even thinking about this, because I'm like,
yeah, for even caring what somebody's underwear looks like. I know, I spiral is like a daily thing for me of like, why do I fucking care? It doesn't matter. But then I'm like, because I had to do it.
Yeah.
Because I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I got yeast infections, you fuckers.
I can remember. So when I started, like, I was, like, not wearing my garments anymore. I was doing, like, the undershirt thing, because you guys could do that. Anyway, I was DJing, which is a very loose term. I was just, like, running a playlist. Anyway.
I love this so much.
It was for this homeschool prom. It was so cute. Anyway.
Yeah. Oh my God, this is the best story of all time.
My friend was homeschooled, and her whole family was homeschooled, and there's like they'd get all the homeschooled kids together, and they would do this like prom type thing. And so I got to DJ for it a couple times. One time I actually taught them a line dance. Anyway,
oh my God, that's adorable.
But I can remember my friend's mom came up, and she was very uber religious at the time, very Mormon, and I like leaned over the table to get something, and you could see my underwear at the time, and she was, literally grabbed the band of my underwear. She's like, "What's this?" And I was like, looking back on it, I'm like, "That is fucked up."
That's assault. This woman.
That's
assault.
But yes, she's like a family, like not family friend. She's my friend, but like she's my friend's mom.
But you still don't touch like, people's underwear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But Mormons think they have a right to it, right?
Exactly.
They think, oh, I'm calling you out. I'm making you a better person by putting my hands on your body and pointing out that you're doing something wrong. I know. Yeah. It's so fucked up.
And embarrassing me and saying like that. And I wasn't ready to have that conversation yet. And so I don't remember what I did. I just kind of was like, I pulled my shirt down and just was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm not like, kidding.
But yeah. I guess that is a favorite sin of our, like, that we don't have to wear, I guess, quote, sin. We don't have to wear garments anymore.
I mean, I resigned, so I'm not worthy of wearing the garments anymore anyway, so.
Same, yeah.
Plus, I lived in sin. Oh, I lived in sin for a few years, so.
Yeah.
With a few different gentlemen. Just a couple. It was just a couple.
Not at the same time, but you know. It's, or was it?
Well, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Let's just say there's a few friendships I've ruined over the years. Anyways.
Another favorite sin is coffee.
I love coffee.
I hate that that's even something you have to say as a sin, but it's not. I mean, God doesn't care.
Because she didn't get to go to heaven because of that one cup of coffee.
Oh, man. Yeah. Sundays, like not going to church on Sundays.
Not keeping the Sabbath day holy.
Yeah. Oh, I love my Sundays now, though. Oof.
Seriously. They're
so
the
nice.
Best.
What else is a good favorite sin? Smoking. I do smoke when I'm drunk. I can't say that's a favorite sin, but I do smoke when I'm drunk, but it's fun when I
partake of weed. I have a vape pen that's a weed that has weed in it.
Yeah, weed is. I've been watching Suits. Have you ever?
Yeah, I've seen a few seasons of it.
It's so funny because like it's like 12.
Doesn't he like get busted with pot or something?
Yeah, he's carrying weed, and they have this like whole. That's the whole thing. Like he gets busted with weed, and
yeah, and now we're all like, yeah, I've. Like, my wallet. I gotta make a phone call later, so I've got a gummy. Like,
anyway, all right, so blessings.
Oh,
okay. I'll go back to blessings. In addition to the blessings, King Lamone's father sought, excuse me, namely resurrection and salvation, President Nelson has listed more blessings that come from our efforts to become more like Jesus Christ and stay on the covenant path. These include change of heart and nature, charity, humility. These sound like poor names. To think about it. Generosity, kindness, self-discipline, peace, confidence, joy, rest, spiritual strength, personal revelation, increasing faith, ministering of angels, miracles. if you have a hard time... Dusty's gone. If you have a hard time... tap down. If you have a hard time sacrificing certain sins, don't give up. President Nelson reminds us that overcoming the world certainly does not mean becoming perfect in this life, nor does it mean that your problems will magically evaporate, because they won't. And it does not mean that you won't still make mistakes, but overcoming the world does mean that your resistance to sin will increase. I think it's all funny. Right. So, okay, so your resistance to sin will increase the more you overcome the world. I'm thinking of, like, the more I resisted being gay, and I'm like, no, the more I resisted, the harder it was. The harder it was for me to avoid men. I was just like, oh, there's a hot man. There's a hot man. Penis. But that was all my brain, you know. That was all I could think about, because it was something I couldn't have.
I'm gonna wet my pants. I'm laughing so hard.
The more I resisted, the more I was wanting to have it.
Yeah. It's true. When you're told not to swear, it's just really hard to not swear. Not the same thing.
Yeah, no. As we put in effort to give up our sins like King Lamoni's father, who did not exist, we will find that knowing God is always worth the sacrifice. In doing so, each of our lives will become something greater than we could have made them ourselves. So cute. So I looked up sin. Just put in sin in the search bar in LDS.org. And oh, guess what? I just listed the top things that came up.
Oh, goody.
Beware of pride. Oh. Same-sex attraction. Mm. Stench of sin, unpardonable sin, and atonement were the things that came up. So
the atonement, of course.
All right, so... Okay, so this is a talk from... Fucknar in April.
Your bestest friend. Was he holding a grocery bag full of unknown objects? Talk? I want to know.
Probably. It was probably under his seat.
Just so...
So weird.
$100 billion and nobody thought to be like, just set that down as you're walking out of the
spot. Or make it a tote. Like a tote?
Tote? Yeah.
Like, make it somewhere.
Yeah, it looks weird. Super weird, man.
Anyway, so this is from April 2016 General Conference. Are you excited for this? All right. To comprehend more fully the process whereby we may obtain and always retain a remission of our sins, we need first to understand the inseparable relationship among three sacred ordinances that provide access to the powers of heaven: baptism by immersion, laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, and the sacrament. I could be reading this in his voice, like, ma-ba-da-ba-da.
I felt the vomit.
Baptism by immersion for the remission is the introductory ordinance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and must be preceded by faith in the Savior and by sincere repentance. This ordinance is a sign and a commandment which God has set for his children to enter into his kingdom. Baptism is administered in the authority of the Aaronic priesthood. In the process of coming unto the Savior and spiritual rebirth, baptism provides a necessary initial cleansing of our soul from sin. So he keeps talking about baptism. Baptism by water must be followed by baptism of the Spirit. Three statements by the prophet Joseph Smith emphasize the vital linkage between the ordinances of baptism by immersion for the remission of sins and the laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Statement one.
Singing that primary song. And I guess I'm a Halloween girl. Sorry.
Tell me you're brainwashed without telling me you're brainwashed. All right. So.
Been out for like 15 years, but I know, still.
I'll be singing a little tune and I'll be like, what is that tune?
And like, yeah. And then you're like, the fucking primary song.
Yeah. I'm like, I know. Popcorn popping on the fucking apricot tree. Okay. The amount of times that just pops in my head. I'm like, fuck my life. Stop with the popcorn on the fucking apricot tree. It doesn't happen. What the hell? What kind of fucked up shit is this? Were you on acid mushrooms when you wrote this?
I don't know. We don't have apricot trees over here, so I don't know.
Neither do we. Like popcorn, though.
I think they have them out east. Oh. Don't they? Apricots? Apricots? How do you say it?
I say apricot, but...
What did I say? Oh, no.
Apricot. So I don't know which one's the one you say.
I don't know. Now I'm all fucked up. It's like the fork thing all over again.
Hearing apricot for the first time and being like, what the fuck did they just say?
I think people in the East say apricot and we say apricot. Nope, now I'm confused.
Apricot.
How do you hold a fork? Like,
oh, yeah. Listeners, okay. So Dusty and I had a moment where she was eating on video and I was like, how is she holding her fork?
I know. God, I'm weird.
Backwards.
I don't hold it backwards.
No. I was thinking in my head, like I was like, am I the weird? But then I realized that I do it too. Like I was watching myself.
It depends on what you're eating. Yeah. Like, if you want to scoop, you scoop. But if you stab, like you're holding a pencil. It's just
weird to see it like on video.
Maybe that's what it was.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't even know what I was talking to you about. And all I got back was, how the fuck are you holding your fork like that? And I was like, excuse me? I'm just trying to have some lunch here, sir. How dare you? Do you hold yours with your toes? I don't know what you're asking me.
America, eat with our toes, okay? Wouldn't surprise me because we are the meth lab under your whatever your neighbor, meth neighbor. So
just living above a meth lab. Oh my god, it's gonna blow.
Where was I? Oh, statement one about baptism. Baptism is a holy ordinance preparatory to the reception of the Holy Ghost. It is the channel and key by which the Holy Ghost will be administered. I can't do it anymore. All right. You might as... Okay.
So I almost hung up on you. I was like, oh, no. No. We got
might as well this. Baptize a bag of sand as a man. I'm not done in view with the remission of sins. It's getting the Holy Ghost.
A bag of sand.
Baptism by water is but half a baptism. It's funny or when you do it in like a...
is, actually, yeah.
Baptism by water is but half a baptism. It's good for nothing without the other half. That is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
So wait, I start speaking with a British accent as I drink, and you become Southern. This is fun.
Yeah. I have done British before. It just depends. I don't know.
My husband speaks with a British accent just randomly. No alcohol involved. He'll just randomly. I'll do it too. I'm like, what is wrong?
Gepna. Yeah.
What's happening over there?
Oh, yeah, Ethel Hammer. We forgot about... Okay.
Ethel.
Lady Hammer.
Lady Hammer. Lady Cavendish. Oh, that fucking
Lady
book.
Lady Cavendish.
Oh, I'm so mad at that book still. Anyways, it's fine.
Oh, Hecate Cavendish.
Cavendish. Fucking take a long walk off a short beer.
Statement three, the baptism of water. The baptism of water without the baptism of fire and the Holy Ghost attending it is of no use. They are necessarily and inseparably connected. The consistent connectedness among the principle of repentance. This would be so much more entertaining if they did
it
this way.
It really
the
would.
Connectedness among the principle of repentance, the ordinance of baptism and receiving the whole gift. If you could.
This is like Brother Love's Travel and Salvation show going on down here. This is great.
The Holy Ghost and the glorious blessing of the remission of sins is emphasized repeatedly in the scriptures. NEPA declared for the game by which you should.
I'm dying.
listeners are probably tuning out now. Nephi declared for the gate by which he should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire of the, by the Holy Ghost. Gotta say, the Holy Ghost, the Savior himself proclaimed. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that you may be sanctified. Anyway.
Moving right along.
He also talks about the laying on the hands. Laying on the hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost is an ordinance administered in the authority of the Melchizedek priesthood. As member, I think it's the mustache, too. I think that's bringing it out,
Mustache is really working for you, yeah. You should start your own cult, actually.
Maybe I will. You don't know.
I will. I'll take care of your books for it, and then, like, I don't know. Put the books and swindle and see you later. I don't know.
And then the sacrament is the third ordinance necessary to obtain access to the power of godliness, blah, blah, blah. The ordinance of the sacrament is holy and repeated invitation to repent sincerely and to repent, remit sins. Sometimes Latter-day Saints express the wish they could be baptized again and thereby become as clean and worthy as the day on which they received their first saving gospel ordinance.
Yeah, I wish I could get dunked under the water by my dad. That sounds like a fun time.
No.
Remember doing baptisms for the dead?
Oh, garbage. Yeah.
Remember some of the boys would stand behind the girls because their dress becomes really see-through?
Ew, really?
Yeah.
That's how I know I'm gay, because I didn't do that shit. So.
Because you have, like, the jumpsuit underneath.
Yeah.
And then you put the, like, little, there's, like, a one-piece undie. It looks like garments, but it doesn't have the symbols on it, obviously. And then you put the jumpsuit. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you were, like, an early bloomer, mm-hmm. and you were soaking wet in a white jumpsuit, like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, yeah.
It's not great.
I can remember them, like, sticking to you, like, it's just, and it's, like...
And it's you can't, like, because you've got one hand on the dude, and he's got your wrist, so it's not like you can, like, adjust yourself and fix it. You're just dripping water, just plaster to your little teeny... age boobies, and all the boys are like terrible.
And then I don't know what I was gonna say. Like, as you're coming out of the water too, you're just like, then this, like, little old lady gives you a towel.
Like, here's a little towel, and you're, like, shriveled and, like, okay, great. And you're trying to, like, pick the wedgie out because you're very tall.
Oh, I couldn't relate to that. I was the short, so.
Oh, Lord. And you had the socks. You had to go in with the socks on. So then you're walking and sweating.
Being the dunker.
The dunker? Not the dunkie?
Yeah. Yeah, being the dunker is a weird experience, too. Oh, it's like,
I couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
No.
And you get tired, like, you were tired really fast.
Because
you're like,
some of us girls are big girls, like, womp, womp, womp.
And there's, it's not like, okay, so I used to ballroom dance.
Right.
And simply, it's the same concept. You bend your knees.
Yeah.
So you're not just, whoop, you're not actually dipping. You're just,
you
have, like, to,
you swoop down and then stand up. Yeah.
You're, like, sitting. You're just, like, you're using your legs, you know, but.
Some girls don't. Some girls just fling back.
Yeah, they don't get that concept. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to...
I'm dead weight, plus I'm wet wearing clothing. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. Yeah. Sometimes they grip your wrist really hard, though, and you'd be like, stop it. You're hurting me. Like, ow. Like, you can feel, like, the bones in your wrist, and you're just like, I'm going to have a bruise. People are going to think... Not only am I involved in some culty shit, but people are going to think I'm being abused, too. So, let go of me.
Yeah. I actually don't know why I attached that article to the favorite sins thing. I think it had to do with...
Because you love Bednar so much.
Yeah, and I was like, fuck that guy, so we're going to talk about him. So, basically, he's just like, baptism is the way to get over rid of your sins. And
oh, yeah, because if you take the sacrament on Sunday, it's basically like you're baptized all over again because it's renewing your covenants.
The sacrament. So, Segment. As a priesthood holder type thing, it's the garbage. It means nothing. It's like, oh, ooh, thank you for the little, like, wizard thing. I don't know. I'm just like,
gonna say, why don't you get a wand? Like, that would be cool.
Did I get a sporting hat? No. Come on. didn't you play Quidditch? Come on. No, I had to break the bread into the little trays.
You know what always freaked me out about sacrament meeting? Did they wash their hands before they broke the bread?
That's a good question. So I remember using the little alcohol wipes. I remember using that. So
alcohol on the bread? You gave somebody alcoholic bread?
Uh-huh, yeah.
You probably caused them to slip and stumble. Yep. All you.
Just one little whiff of alcohol, and they're alcoholic. So
yep. That one taste. It's all your fault.
Yep.
I would always think about that. Like, it would be kind of squished, and you'd be like, can't see a thumbprint in it.
Ew. Oh. I remember like being all awkward about it. Like, I'm just like, what do I do? Like, I just would do what you want. Like, you watch people doing it. Like, they always break it in half, and then they break one, blah, 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 and then break the other half. Like, you do it in halves, and then you break it into the smaller pieces. Oh, and
that makes sense, I guess.
But I'm like, why don't we just? What is the point of breaking it in half and then breaking it? Like, but everybody did it that way. There's another thing, and then.
It's one of those weird culturally things, maybe.
Then I remember, as a deacon, I actually loved passing the sacrament. It was so fun for me.
It's because you could judge everybody.
Well, not even that. I just liked being doing something other than sitting in the fucking.
Yeah, that makes sense. I always wanted to spy on people.
Yeah. Oh, I would definitely passing that on.
Sister Sherry didn't take the sacrament today.
And then I always hated there's like the longer pews in the middle and then the shorter pews on the sides.
Oh yeah. My family always sat on the very last pew on the right hand side on the short pews.
Wow. See, my family was short pew family too. But it was always like the third or fourth one back.
My mom always sat there because there was a wall behind us. Because if they opened it up to like the gym, you would have a wall. So then people couldn't see us.
Did you have, okay, so church, you have the chapel. That's the word. Uh-huh. The chapel. Yeah. And then you've got the cultural overflow. Hall. But there's also like the overflow. But there was like. A little section before the overflow.
Yeah.
That always creeped. So have you ever been in that when both curtains are closed? That's creepy as fuck.
Yeah. I've made out with a guy in that little section one time.
Of course you did. I wish I could say I made out with a guy in the middle of that, because then I wouldn't have such terror dreams about that little section. Dusty little scandal making out in the church. At least it wasn't in the chapel. Did you make out in the chapel ever?
That's where it started. And then we both were like, and we walked out and went into the overflow little skinny area. So we had some I can't believe I'm telling this on the internet.
Yeah, this is going out to the worldwide world. We have...
It's news to people that I was a bit of a hoe. Oh, no.
A hoe. So, I was going to save this for... We could do another episode on this, but they've got a new hymn book.
What?
And Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing is in it.
And really? It's
1001.
There's 1,000 hymns?
I don't know how they got that. Okay, so maybe we'll just go into 1001 is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. 1002 is when the Savior comes again. 1003 is it is well with my soul. 1004 is I will walk with Jesus. 1005 is his eye is on the sparrow.
Oh, I've heard that song. That's it's like a
Deep South Baptist.
It's a song. Baptist song, I think. Yeah.
And I can't imagine.
I think I've only ever heard like a black choir sing it before. I don't think I've ever heard white people sing it.
Can you imagine?
No.
Mormons.
Some Mormons. That? No. Some in the middle of the pew. No. No. That's terrible.
1006 is think a sacred song. 1007 is as bread is broken. God. Let's see what this.
That's terrible.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely. Oh, it's from 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, and 3 Nephi 18, 3 through 12. As bread is broken, we think of thee, thy broken body on Calvary. May we remember thy suffering sore, with broken hearts thy grace implore. Oh, I can't do it anymore. 1008 is bread of life, living water. 1009 is Gethsemane. They got Easter and Christmas songs. Hail, 1201, hail the day that see him. Hail the day that sees him arise. 1202 is he is born the divine Christ child. 1203 is what child is this?
They added that to the hymn book? Wow. Bright.
Yeah.
Isn't what child is this to the tune of Greensleeves?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was a little digression that I wasn't expecting, but.
That's wild.
Yeah.
12
Jesus. Well, I don't think there's 900 songs, so I don't know where they're getting 1001.
Maybe they're just like adding them to the end so that if they ever want to fill, I don't know. That's weird though, because it's not page number. Because I remember being get like snarked at that it's not page number 305. It's hymn number. It's hymn number.
So. a lot of Desnats on Twitter are showing, they'll show a picture of like the hymn, that board on the back by the, that has the hymn numbers. And it'll like, a lot of them are singing 1001, which is come thou fount of every blessing.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember.
To 666 all the time.
You would. So I remember,
I'm going to hell. That's why it's so hot. I'm micro-dosing hell right now.
Hell, yes. I, I was, yeah, that's really what's happening right now. This heat wave is just God's way of saying, like, hey, this is what's coming for you. So, enjoy it. I can remember Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing being like a,
like a special number that like the choir would do,
yeah, and everybody
sang it a few times
in the hymn book, and it's like, well, because there was a whole committee that decided not to have it in there, and now that they're redoing the hymn book after 100 whatever years, they're putting it in there again. So anyway,
crazy.
Well, I feel like we kind of got off the rails, but it's fine.
what? We went off the rails? That's weird. That's never happened before.
I wanted to talk about I just thought it was funny because of the favorite sins thing and what would you give up to know God?
As little as possible.
Well, and I think that if we, like you said at the beginning, like there was, all ex-Mormons just leave the church just to go sin, you know?
And yeah, we just want to sin. That's why we leave, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is another thing that, like, kind of perpetuates that whole idea that you're going to just leave for your favorite sins. And it's kind of like a cautionary thing of, like, what are some of my favorite sins? What steps can I overcome these sins? What obstacles would I face in my effort? How can sacrificing the sins help me in the areas where I'm struggling? And I'm, and talking about the blessings that you'll have, and it's all just like the same message of, oh, well,
Lazy learners, and we didn't put in the effort, and we didn't really have a testimony. When the reason I really started questioning the church was because I was told after my divorce that I was trash, basically. Mm-hmm. I wasn't allowed to go to the family ward because that would make the men look at me. Mm-hmm. And when I was in the singles ward, only date other men who've been divorced because you're not a virgin. Like, ugh. I was trash.
Yeah.
That's why I started questioning, like, why am I involved in a church that I was a victim of a really horrific situation and I'm still being shit on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what
I wanted. Yeah,
like, that's what I was putting my life to, was being completely treated like shit more.
Yeah.
From not only the person that was supposed to, like, love and cherish me, but now this religious institution that I've devoted my entire life to is like, yeah, you are shit, actually. You're nothing. You're nothing without him. Yeah.
Mm.
So it had nothing to do with wanting to drink coffee or have premarital sex or wear short shorts. It was, I deserve more.
Mm-hmm. Finding your worth and realizing you deserve more. I can remember having conversations with a friend of mine that, like, as I was, we were both kind of coming out of the church and talking about how this institution was trying to dictate how, first of all, how she was trying to live her life as, like, a woman, and that she wanted to be more. She wanted to be more than just a cookie cutter wife, and just and she realized that she was worth more than that. And I, like, having the same common conversation with her, where it was like, I'm coming out of as being gay, and, like, does that, it's incongruent with the teachings of the church and how they view me as lesser because I have these feelings that I cannot stop.
Yeah, that I've, like, you're, tried. You as a person were wrong, according to the church. Yeah.
Yeah. I do think that it's also problematic because this is from the Liahona, which is the church's publication that they give out monthly. And this is members reading this. It used
to be called the Ensign, right?
Yeah. The Liahona used to be the different, non-English
speaking. Yeah, that's
what I thought. Yeah, so.
Now that
they've merged it all into one. I don't know. The Ensign doesn't exist anymore, which is really weird to me. So,
really hated getting it sent to my house.
It does, but it just is under the name Liahona.
Hmm.
So does that make sense?
Yeah. They just replaced it with. Yeah. That makes sense. I always wondered why it was a different name in different countries.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And when I worked at Desert Book, I was like, that's weird, because it was literally the same thing, but just, like, they just called it the Ahona and Ensign.
Yeah. And I never, it was the international, but, like, Canadians still got the Ensign. And I was like, so we're not international? That's weird.
I was like, it doesn't matter, like, what language you spoke, kind of thing.
Because even the French, it was still the Ensign.
Oh, really?
Yeah. As far as I remember. I could be wrong.
So it's interesting that this message is being sent to members, like, mm-hmm. active members, and they're reading mm-hmm. this and thinking, oh, well, yes, I have favorite sins, but I'm going to still put God above any of my needs. And that's, I think it's just problematic when you put anything. And I know a lot of people would think that, like, especially in the church, you think that that's kind of a selfish way to think. And that's, I still think of that. I'm just like, am I being selfish when I'm doing these kind of thing? Like, I still get in my head about that. Does that make sense? But I just, I've kind of gotten past it, and I've been out for like a decade, over a decade. And I'm like, I still have moments where I'm just like, this is like, today, I went to the Starbucks in Rexburg. It was great, though.
Not so delicious.
It was great. I just think it's problematic. This, like, they're
It's just, yeah, it's more ammunition against people to judge other people, because it's bringing up this, like, what are your favorite sins? And so you're in looking internally of, like, oh, yeah, I do these little things. But then you're also thinking, like, oh, everybody else has a favorite sin. And so you start judging other people around you. And it comes back to that whole pitting people against each other about being judgmental and tattletaling on each other. And it's just, it's so toxic. It's so fucking toxic. Like, I saw Sister Smith in the Starbucks line. Her favorite sin must be drinking coffee. Like, let people live their lives. Well,
even then, it's not even just coffee. It's like, oh, you're drinking caffeine. You're drinking Coke. Like, Coke. Like, that's, when you live in, like, the Mormon bubble, especially, like, that becomes very prevalent, and you're just like, oh, well, and it's been nice to live in Rexburg without that whole, like, layer of, I can just do whatever the fuck I want. I just walk around. I'm like, I go to Walmart here, and, like, you know, tattoos a-blazing, and I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, I kind of take joy out of seeing the looks of people's faces. Right.
Yeah. Like, I don't like going home because people expect me to be what I was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I hate that because I am not who I was 20 years ago. She's dead. No. But it's just, it's exhausting to constantly be scrutinized and, you know, and it's coming from this place of, well, that's because we love you and want to have you in the celestial kingdom with us. And you're like, no, it's because you're judgmental and you've got nothing else going on in your life except for to look at me and point out my flaws, because God forbid you look at yourself and see that you're a judgmental piece of shit.
Yeah. Maybe Sister Stacy should have a fucking thing of weed and calm the fuck down and worry about herself.
My sister and I were talking about, like, sneaking weed into my mother. It was quite an enjoyable conversation.
All right, well, that was what I had for that.
That was fun. That was a ride.
It always is.
It's always a ride.